churches, like in the United States, headquarters on Riverside Drive in New York, where I visited many times. Know the people, know the leaders. Now, something about the hopes for the ecumenical movement. First of all, the teaching of Christ in the Gospel of St. John could not be clearer. Just before, remember, his death, Christ prayed to his Heavenly Father that they may be one, as you, Father, and I are one, that they may be one in us. Christ wants his followers to be united. In the Acts of the Apostles, again, at the very beginning, on Pentecost Sunday, remember, as soon as Peter finished his first sermon, some 3,000 were baptized. And almost the next verse, we are told by St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, and they remained united in one ecumene, in one community, faithful to the teaching of the apostles. Then, number three, provincial councils. Over the centuries, when there were breaks or potential divisions, bishops would call a council called a provincial council to seek to reunite those who were disunited over some matter of doctrine or Christian morality. Then, now from 325, who remembers when the Second Vatican Council met? Who remembers? By the way, pardon me for saying this, but one sign of really knowing your Catholic faith is knowing certain dates. Pardon me. First of all, in what century did the Second Vatican Council meet? Okay, thanks. You know that at least. In what decade? 60s. Thanks. Now, when did the First Vatican Council first meet? 60? Close. 60? And it closed. 65? Gee, thanks for professing your Catholic faith. So 1962 to 1965, there were four meetings of the Second Vatican Council. Over the centuries, I just have a list of how many? 2, 4, 7, call them heresies, over which councils of the church were met. The first one, because Arius denied Christ's divinity, the Council of Ephesus against Nestorius, remember the Archbishop of Constantinople who denied that Mary is the Mother of God, claiming she is the mother of the person Jesus, but don't say she's the Mother of God. He was condemned. Pelagianism. One council after another, especially in the 4th, 5th, and 6th centuries. Pelagius, remember, was a British monk who claimed you can get to heaven without God's grace. Should never have left his monastery. At any rate, he was condemned. We need God's grace. We cannot get to heaven by our own natural powers, either of mind or of will. Then, iconoclasm. The Muslims, as you may know, are against any sacred images. And when the Muslims began to take over one part of the Near East after another, they forbade Christians to have statues or pictures, either of Christ, Our Lady, or the saints. And then people arose among professed Christians who said, that's wrong. So icons must be destroyed. That's what iconoclasm means, destroying sacred images. And the Catholic Church believes, has always believed. If you want to know what sacred images are, go below the city of Rome. Date 120, 130 AD. Pictures of saints, of the martyrs, of Our Lord, of Our Lady, all over the catacomb. And still remember, after 1900 years, you can still recognize the features. Then, the Eucharistic symbolism. In other words, I've got three modern principle, what shall I call them? Dangers to the unity of the Catholic faith. The three greatest dangers to the unity of the Catholic faith, in my judgment, are Eucharistic symbolism, Episcopalianism, and secularism. What do I mean by Eucharistic symbolism? The bread and wine remain bread and wine after what we call the words of consecration. There is no Catholic Church left among those who deny the real presence. Episcopalianism. As you know, the word for a bishop in Greek is episkopos. Episcopalianism, by definition, means that the bishops, the episcopoi, that they are the heads of the church. And the Pope is only a nominal figurehead. The most important preposition in my Catholic vocabulary is a preposition under. Whenever I speak of bishops, I say the bishops are to be under the Bishop of Rome. And finally, secularism, which comes, as you know, from the Latin word saeculum, which means this world. Unless we believe, and only as strongly as we believe, in a world after bodily death, for which we were really made, dear God, you could not have made us just for this world. You could not. If you believe that there is a life after bodily death, then you have the foundations of Christianity. And I think I should handle some questions. Thank you. St. Francis of Assisi, Religious Education, Ann Arbor. St. Francis of Assisi Parish invites you to imitate the humble love of the shepherds this Advent by spending time in Eucharistic adoration, Thursdays beginning after 7 a.m. Mass and continuing until 7 p.m. Mass. Oh, viva, viva, wonderful, thank you. Is all venial sin forgiven at Mass? We are being told by our priest that only serious sin needs to be confessed. Well, no. In fact, Christ instituted the sacrament of confession precisely to deliver us from grave mortal sins. So, we do have venial sins, both guilt and punishment. We may all safely think, I can see it for myself, still in our souls. The Mass does remove some of both the guilt and the punishment for venial sins, but we should not say all. And by the way, go to confession as often as you can. I am interested in evidences for God from scientific research. For example, the Big Bang theory of the origin of the universe, and in showing that faith and reason can be reconciled, a certain Protestant astrophysicist is doing quite a job in getting this information out. He is enrolled for me to donate to his organization so that I can receive his useful newsletter, even though in so doing my funds would go to the support of a Protestant ministry. Well, if he's promoting, I'm correct, the rational foundations of Christianity, God bless him. Because we do need a strong rational basis for our faith. Would utilitarianism be an insidious threat to the authority? Please comment. Oh, indeed. Utilitarianism, as you know, literally means that should be followed which is useful. Another word is pragmatism. If it works, do it. If it doesn't work, forget it. Well, there are many things that don't work in this world. Like, for example, being kind, does that always work? Being honest, does that always work? Yes, it's a great threat. Both utilitarianism and pragmatism. When an elderly patient refuses to eat and tears out her feeding tube, what is our responsibility? Tie her hands. I mean it. And use the feeding tube. Is there a possibility of priests from Nigeria and other African countries coming to America to evangelize, especially those in the inner cities? Amen. Amen. In fact, of all countries to mention, Nigeria. While I was teaching at the University of Ottawa in Canada, one dinner I was having, sitting across the street from a priest from Nigeria, he was getting a doctorate in theology at the university. I asked him, where are you from? He said, Nigeria. What are you doing in Canada? Well, I'm getting a doctorate in theology because I'm going to New York City. Because we now have 11 priests in the Archdiocese of New York, all from Nigeria, permanently established in New York City. You've got to go to another country where the faith is still strong to see what it means to not be what we are. We are a mission country. So many priests tell me that we can't judge every suicide as sinful. Please comment. That's correct. I've, over the years, counseled so many people, some successfully, some not, who wanted to commit suicide. People can become so emotionally distraught, so mentally distressed, even deranged, have to take their lives. Yes, not all suicides are sinful. Can a divorced Catholic who does not remarry receive communion? That deserves a drink. Of course. You better go to communion. Of course, pardon me, go to confession. Now, of course, the divorce, as you know, even Christ himself tells us, where there has been infidelity on the part of one partner, then there is the right to separation from what we say, bread and board, but no right to remarry. Divorced persons should go to the sacraments. What do you think of communal confession? Either what is called, now remember, there are two kinds of communal confession. There is where they have a service, penitential service, where then each one goes to confession individually to the priest. That's okay. But where they? Now, I presume that behind that communal confession, they're talking about general absolution, don't you think so? Well, I just can't imagine making a confession publicly before everybody. But what I think is behind the question, namely a general absolution, and you confess your sins to God, you don't go to confession, you get general absolution. As I said, how many times so far? It must be a real grave emergency for general absolution to take effect. And even in case of emergency, real emergency, large number of people is never justifiable reason for general absolution. Even then, the people must intend to go soon. Remember the word mux, soon, to make a private, individual confession of their sins, their mortal sins. Otherwise, the general absolution is useless. Are there rules governing communion services replacing weekday masses, especially if there are two priests in the parish? Oh, pardon me. They are? Oh, yes. That W means without, doesn't it? Without priests in the parish. It happens on these days. Oh, no, on their days off. My God. A priest taking off. and then people will not have Mass and get the communion. Pray for the salvation of those priests. Having taught priests for 25 years, I know what flesh and blood they're made of. Pray for us priests. Yes, there are rules. In case of real emergency, for example, in Latin America, in large parts of Latin America, one priest to 50,000 Catholics. There are definite regulations. Well, this is one place where deacons should do their job. We've got more deacons in the United States, permanent deacons in the Catholic Church, than the whole rest of the church put together. In plain Anglo-Saxon, the United States does not need all these deacons unless they are doing what they should be doing, like in case of emergency, being in charge of a communion service. There are now two Nigerian priests in the Lansing Diocese. Well, if they have more people like what is being taught at St. Patrick's in Brighton, we'll need more priests from Nigeria. We Catholics believe that the soul is separated at, or is created at conception. What is the danger in believing God created souls and put them someplace to wait for a body, like the Mormons believe? Really, it's just not true. And the Mormons, pray for the Mormons. I think I told you about the two Mormons came from Salt Lake City. I told you this, didn't I? To New York City, and I was teaching there. Called me up beforehand. They were sent, well, by the Mother Church to convert Father Hardin. After half an hour, they wanted to leave. I said, look, you stay here. I knew much more about Joseph Smith than those two poor Mormons did. Oh, pray for them. When our daughter was 17, our best friend was in a coma from a head injury. After 24 hours, she had not regained consciousness. Her father, a doctor, asked that the respirator be turned off because if she came out of the coma, she would not be the smartest, most beautiful, most graceful girl she had been. Our pediatrician turned off the respirator. Our daughter took years to come to terms with her friend's death. It took that long to convince her that we would not do this to her, but would lovingly take care of her no matter what condition her baby was in. Killing is never a private matter. Amen. In Detroit, since I've been here 7 years ago, I've saved any number of lives, convincing the parents against the doctor's strong protests, keep that child of yours alive. The love of parents taking care of a helpless child, what could be more wonderful can a Protestant woman who has a civil divorce from her Protestant husband become a Catholic? Could be, depending, first of all, whether, if she was married before, whether her first husband was baptized or not. Follow the logic. Because only two baptized people who entered a valid lifelong marriage and have consummated that marriage by natural intercourse, that marriage cannot be dissolved. So that should be looked into, because they may either have not been a valid baptism or a valid marriage in the first place. And for a valid marriage, both must believe that their marriage is for life, and both must want children. Otherwise, their marriage is not valid. So that should be looked into. Why does the Catholic Church emphasize purgatory, and where does the Bible speak of it? Well, how the Church emphasizes purgatory is like there are four points to the compass. There's hot weather and cold weather. There's a heaven, hell, and purgatory. So what's new? Purgatory is part of our faith. And by the way, all believing Orthodox Jews believe in purgatory. Do you hear me? It's already in the Old Testament, the second book of Maccabees, where after many of the Jews after battle had died, then they offered prayers and sacrifice for the repose of their souls. Because, as the book of Maccabees says, it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they might be released or relieved of their sins. Grave sins, we believe, must be, well, forgiven already in this life, but the punishment due to venial sins, or even temporal punishment due to still confessed and forgiven mortal sins, there is suffering also in the life to come. No one gets to heaven without suffering, because we're all sinners. Either suffer here and expiate our purgatory here on earth, or we'll have our purgatory after death. What does St. Paul mean when he speaks of predestination? Well, St. Paul means that God from all eternity both foresaw and foreordained everyone's destiny. At this point, we could talk for hours, in fact, weeks. It's a mystery. There was only one thing we should remember, that we believe that predestination is conditional. God does foresee our destiny. God, we must also add, foreordains our destiny. But both his prevision and his foreordination of our destiny is conditional. Conditional on what? On how he foresees we will either do his will or not. And the mystery is that God will not interfere with our freedom, even though he foresees that we will abuse that freedom and lose our souls. Is it wrong to say, I am predestined to go to heaven and others are not? Well, you better watch your language. First of all, never say that. by all means say, I am confident, I trust, I love God so much. I am very confident, trusting in His mercy, that I will go to heaven. Say that. You can say that there are others. I pray for them. I hope and pray that they too will go to heaven. But if they do not repent before they die, well, I have to say this. But I will never say who it is, because only God knows. They will not reach heaven. Now my clock here says 4:07. Now, I don't see any crowd around here. Pardon me, except you. This is not a crowd. What? Sources can I use to prove that the poor souls in purgatory can pray for us? Many people do not agree with that. They can pray for us. Well, the church teaches it, so. The church teaches the poor souls. In fact, we believe in the communion of saints. We believe there are three levels to the church. There's triumphant in heaven. The church militant on earth. Remember, we're all conscripted. And the church suffering in purgatory. And we believe when we say communion of saints, it's a communication among all three. We pray for one another. Who are some of the people in the United States who are setting the stage for what the public must follow? Three classes of people. The legal profession, the medical profession, and the scientific profession. At this point, I could speak, of course, for hours. Leaders, planning, and most people are followers. I was recently talking to a Protestant whom I know, and after telling her I was pregnant and expecting the baby in July, she asked, why July? It's going to be very hot. You should have planned another month. How do I respond with charity and love when someone asks about planning a pregnancy? Over. When we left But we let God plan all things in our lives. Oh my gosh. Over the years, I have dealt with mentally disturbed people. You don't reason with them. You are kind to them. You show them how much you love them. You tell them you're going to pray for them. What you tell them, for me. God is planning my life, and He is planning my pregnancy. By 4:30, the volunteers for the light show will come. By 4:30. No? It's 4:12. When confessing only venial sins in a devotional confession, is it required to state the number of each sin? No. Useful, but not necessary. Nor do you have to go over all your venial sins. My 82-year-old mother declined to be taken to Mass today, Sunday, because it was so cold. Her parish priest said people her age were excused from Mass in very cold weather. If a person is in good health, do you think this is sufficient reason to miss Sunday Mass? No. First of all, yes. 82 years old, cold weather, they would be excused. But, and I would say, if you find it very difficult, God would understand. You would not be obliged under grave sin. So, in the past, you have mentioned that confessed sins will not be revealed at the last judgment. What is the source of this teaching? Well, among others, St. Thomas Aquinas. What is the Church's teaching on kneeling during the consecration? Are the parishes who stand being disobedient? Disobedience is in the will. The will should be enlightened by the mind. I really believe most disobedient people in these matters are just plain ignorant. It's wrong. Kneel during consecration. Priest doesn't like it? Tell him to call up Father Hardin, collect. My father-in-law did not believe in medical treatment, no needles and so forth. He refused to eat and drink. He would not allow us to put him in a hospital or get any treatment. What is our responsibility when he was so firm? We knew he wanted to die. We think he was in danger, but had no definite diagnosis. He did die. I have felt guilty ever since. Trust that you acted in good faith. In other words, of course, I told you even to tie, remember, the woman's hands. So, do it, of course, gently. I would have, well, depending on how heavy the father was, may have needed two or three men. So, but have no worries before God. I'm sure you acted in good faith. My cousin's daughter was on drugs for several years. She killed herself with her father's gun. Do we believe that her soul is lost? What is the teaching of the Catholic Church? Well, I would say people taking drugs are not acting normally. So, I would say she did not commit what we call willful suicide. And it is 4:16. How's that? Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do you know when our next class is? next Sunday, our last class for the year.
Let me have your blessing.
Oh, yes, a blessing. Let me stand. Oh, Father Downey. And in Latin, Benedictio Deo Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendat super vos, et maniat semper. Amen. God bless you.